the Lord good to us? Amen. I want you to say this with me. I choose honor.
I choose honor.
I need a Bible. Why don't you bring me a Bible, please? Preferably King James. I don't have any. Oh, mine's in my bag right there. Thank you. I gave them all away in Romania. You know, I've given over 2,000 Bibles, these leather-bound Bibles, well over 2,000 of them away over the years. The Holy Spirit is saying, I've called that man to be a pastor. I called that woman to be a pastor, whatever, fivefold ministry. And we've sown over 2,000 of these, well over, way over 2,000 of them. Praise the Lord. I told Pastor Gary one day, I said, just the harvest from those Bibles alone will never be able to be measured. Have I ever given you a Bible, Pastor? I thought so. Yeah. Signed it. God's good, isn't he? You remember why I wanted this Bible? I thought maybe you knew what I was thinking. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Peter is quoting Prophet Joel appropriately. It is as appropriate for the outpouring here on the day of Pentecost as now. It is not limited to time. I will pour out my spirit, saith God, upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, this is what Moses saw. When those young men he was raising up came back and said, the anointing has spilled over the elders and down into the camp. Stop them. And Moses said, no. Oh, to God that everybody. Moses saw Pentecost thousands of years before he arrived. That everybody would receive his spirit and prophesy. On my servants and my handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in the heaven and signs in the earth, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. Turn around and tell somebody, we love the Holy Spirit. We honor the Holy Spirit. We always welcome him to do whatever he wants to do. Let's just worship together and hang out with God a while. And grab a hold of that verse for you right now. I'll pour my spirit out. It's easy to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You just ask Father in the name of Jesus. And that baptism in the Holy Spirit is so much love. You can't help but express through your spirit, man, your love to God. And your known language is too limited. So he gives you heavenly language to just freely express your love to him. Kala ropotasha. I'll pray in my understanding. Blessing to your people, Lord. And I'll pray in the spirit. I will sing with my understanding. And I will sing in the spirit. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is easy. The price to do it was paid for on Calvary's cross. The baptism of the Holy Spirit came by way of Calvary's cross through Christ as he laid down his life. Can't receive the Holy Spirit unless you're born again. What a marvelous covenant we live in. It's another thing to stay filled and be filled daily, Ephesians 5:18. Turn around and tell somebody, I'm being filled up right now. It's a fill-up service. Fill-up service. God's wanting to pour his spirit out. Turn around and tell somebody, I surrender and yield my spirit to the Holy Spirit. And I ask the Holy Spirit to be the Lord of my sleep. And I ask the Holy Spirit to give me dreams and night visions to his glory. name of Jesus. And everything we experience, everything we encounter, 2 Timothy 3:16, must be judged on the word. I want you to confess this with me. The faith I have, saving faith, measure of faith, gift of faith, fruit of faith, came from Jesus. Hebrews 12:2-1. The author and finisher of my faith. And my faith has a foundation of the Word of God. The Word of God is the basis of my faith. When people begin to learn that we walk by faith and not by sight, and that without faith it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it's impossible to please God. Reach up and grab a hold of that. Grab a hold of that. Why is it impossible to please God without faith? This is brand new, sorry. Because if you don't have faith, you can't be saved. For by grace are you saved, reach up, through faith. For by grace you are saved through faith. And now, walk in that faith in fear and trembling, holy reverence for God. You don't have to earn your salvation. It's already been paid for. And now you please God as you walk out your salvation in fear and trembling. And faith comes from hearing, and hearing a word from Him. And you start learning to walk in faith. Sometimes we try to muster up in our soul that we really believe something. But that's not faith. Faith must be built on the word. Hold your Bible up. Faith is built on the basis of the scriptures. When you read the scriptures, when you study the scriptures, it's like they jump, one will jump out, come alive. It's a rhema word, and with rhema word comes faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are thousands of promises in the Bible. Read your Bible and mark your promises as God speaks to you. You can't have anything you want just because you want it. You cannot speak things into existence just because you want it. God gives you the desires of your heart, the psalmist said. It means He puts His heart, His desires in your heart, and His desires begin to wash out what you want. Praise the Lord. And as you speak the word of God and walk out that scripture, that promise, it'll come to pass. And that is called James chapter 5, prayer of faith. Turn around to us, buddy. We're going to learn a lot about prayer. Now take a few questions you have that are holding you back. Take a scripture that's holding you back. Grab it. Take a hold of it. Well, it can't be like this. Just say this with me. This is the word of God. I mean, honestly, what does finite mean? What are we? What is God?
Infinite.
You think in a finite body and mind, you can understand infinite? No. So if 40 scriptures say one thing, This is hermeneutics, but and one seems to not fit. Grab it and stop being blocked. God loves it when you seek Him and find Him. I find Him. Now hold this one and say it together. I'll learn what this means later.
I'll learn what this means later.
I try to keep 99 fresh questions actively going. And when I get answers, then I get more questions. Take a hold of this one. Why didn't everybody get healed? Give it to the Lord. And don't let it stop you from praying for the sick. Why doesn't everyone get saved? Grab a hold of that one. Give it to the Lord. And don't let that stop you from sharing Christ. Does God heal? Yes. What's your job? Pray for Him and love Him. Never judge Him. Come on, grab a hold of that. Listen to this. And a prayer of faith. Grab a hold of that. What's that? Don't tell me no. You probably don't. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And all the church said, amen. So grab a hold of the prayer of faith. Confess your faults to one another that you're close to, that you have a relationship with, that you're submitted to. Pray for one another that you can be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Avails much. Elijah prayed a prayer of faith. Say it together. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. What's a prayer of faith? You have a need. You seek God. Sometimes I have a need hours before I pray. Sometimes days before I pray. Sometimes weeks. Sometimes months. And sometimes, you may find it's hard to believe, years. And upon occasion, Pastor Eric, decades. And I don't pray until after I spent time with Him. And He gives me a basis for my faith. I promise. Wait before Him as long as it takes, with a need on the horizon, until He takes me to a foundation in the Word of promise. We prayed a long time as pastors about a daycare, and Ignacio and Pastor Johnny were very enthusiastic. I believe they were hearing God, even though I didn't want to hear what they had to say. I wasn't very gung-ho on it. I knew God wanted me to. But put your hand on your head and say it with me. It takes a while sometimes for my head to catch up my heart. Do you know the last time I was in Morehouse, Day Spring, on Morehouse, right before we moved in here, I heard children singing. I heard a heavenly choir. My father, his wise man, told me, you better prepare. One day you're going to get that building back. Got on my knees when I heard a heavenly choir. It was a phenomenal experience. Where was I when I heard it? Exactly where I was when I met with the board. Remember that? And all of them fell out right there. All of them. Glory fell right there in the lobby. We knew for 12 years we'd get it back, but we didn't know the details. I got on my knees right there in that place, and I said, Lord, you want me to keep it? I'll keep it, but I don't know what else to do. No, release it. That's all He said. My dad kept telling me, you better get ready to get that back. My earthly father. Johnny wanted it full of children. So did Ignacio. Their heart was to have a safe place for kids, to touch a community. I never asked for it, and I never led a charge for it until, grab your until, I flew to Toronto. I was in a jet, 35,000 feet high, crossing over the boundary between America, the border between America and Canada, and the Lord walked right in there and spoke to me out of John 6 about children. He walked right in that room, gave me a scripture. When I came home, I've worked with Pastor Gary long enough. You could ask him about this sometime. It's relational. He looked right in my eye, and he knew we're buying a daycare. He wasn't all that excited about it either. Johnny Ignacio would start talking about it, and Gary would look down. And I'm like, be quiet. We knew the work. We knew the challenge. I said, Lord, take me more work first 12 months to do that than to pastor all of this. But I had a word. Grab your word. It's a basis for your faith. And now I can pray a prayer of faith. And now I can pray a prayer of faith. You can't pray a prayer of faith until you spent time with Him. And He speaks His word into your heart. For faith to operate. If I had an electric drill here plugged in, it won't operate until it's plugged in. Faith operates plugged into the word and keeps on operating. Grab hold of it. Carol, if you'd stand here. Lynn, if you'd stand here, please face the people. I want you to say this with me. I am a contender of the faith. And I will never stop being a turn around and face the people right there. I'll never stop being a contender of the faith. And all day long we walk with God. We're ready for prayer instantly. We walk in an attitude of prayer. We share Christ with people everywhere we go. We offer to pray with, can I pray with you? Can I help you? Healing is in the covenant, and God's a healer. We live in an unredeemed world. And unless Jesus comes back, and He will, but unless He comes back, you're going to die before your. If He waits 100 years, we're all going to be dead. We look forward to His return. Bear with me. You're going to die. And we're going to believe God to live 72 plus years. And we're going to keep on fighting and warring no matter what comes against us. But we live in an unredeemed world, so people can still be saved. So the Gentiles, the nations can still be saved. So we need to be about Father's business. And if you call me and you're sick and dying in the hospital, grab hold of the Logos. By His stripes we're healed. And I'm going to come and pray with you. And I'm going to believe God for covenant benefit. I'm going to believe God. And read the word over you. Stand with you. Not condemn you and not judge you, not be critical. Who's to blame? Her or her kids or what? No, Jesus said, you're thinking wrong. Everything in our life, everything. The disease that might be killing her is not from God. If it's not in heaven, it's not from God. Jesus always glorified the Father every time He healed someone. Every time. Satan, when he makes them sick or takes their life, steal, kill, destroy, he blames God. So an unredeemed, lost world blames God for everything bad. So we need to teach them in love. That didn't come from God. God is love. That's not heaven. That's not how God operates. You need to meet him and know him. So she calls and says, come pray for me. I want to live, Pastor. Anytime you're sick, step one. Lord, help. If you need a doctor, go. Go to him first. If you need a doctor, go. Well, I don't know if that's biblical. Really? Well, I've gone to doctors several times after I go to Jesus. And they bolted me back together, sewed me up. Help me live long enough so I could have a miracle. And I'll tell you this, though the process may have been painful, it comforted me. And if it comforts me, it can only be from the comforter. So I'm going to come and I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to read the Logos. And I always say when I, one, go to God, say together, go to God. Two, put your hand on your heart. Lord, is there anything that I need to repent of? Anything. Just because you're sick or dying does not mean you have sin. And we never want to accuse anyone of that. But we want to be, say, good Lord, is there anything in my life I need to repent of? Show me what it is. And he doesn't show anything. Quit looking. Quit looking. Probably all of you, before we came in here, looked in the mirror. Your teeth. Smile, let me see your teeth. There's nothing in them. Yours? Nothing in them. You don't need to quit looking. You don't need to keep looking now. Quit looking. Turn around and tell us why. Quit looking. If it was there, he'd show you. And if he showed you the foundation stone, Hebrews 6:1, you'd say, Lord, forgive me, because I don't want to live like that. I want to be like Jesus. Hello? So, I come to you and I say, I'm going to pray with you, Lynn. I'm going to believe God. Some of us rally around her and cry out to God. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't stir you, you can stir the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people call me, they're dying. And this is what I go through. I'll show you what I go through. I am swamped. My schedule is phenomenal. You could not go with me and survive. You couldn't. You'd be dead or sick and dying. You could only do it by grace. Only. So my dad calls me, so-and-so's dying. Let's drive down there and pray for him. Oh. Go like this. Oh. Dad, I got people down there praying for him. He'll be all right. Listen, let's just... it's 24 hours of driving. I know, but we need to go. I'll drive. I'll provide the car. We'll get a room. I'll pay for the room. He loved this man. I'm like, why? I'll tell you why. Just a job. You laid down last night and received a cry out impartation. Sometimes that's taken me 5 days nonstop. Nonstop. No food, no meals, no nothing. What are you doing that for? I can speak the Logos, I can pray the Logos. But until I get a rhema, I can't pray a prayer of faith. And I'm not going to come lie to you that people call a confession when I have no rhema. Say that again, brother. Say it again. Talk about it. Talk about it. But when I get a rhema, I walk in that room, and my dad shut the door and sat in front of it. Wouldn't let the doctors, nurses, or anyone in, and he was in a coma and not supposed to live with an aneurysm. Pulled up a chair and had his wife, had the man's wife sit with him and said, "Now when my son comes out of there, you do everything he tells you and your husband's going to live." Now say this with me, prayer of faith has the word of God as a basis. Remember Melanie? Death sentence, not going to live long. I just laid before God, crying out, not on vacation, taking a nap. You need to learn what prayer is. You come to intercession, well, I'm leading prayer. I won't let you go to sleep, and I won't let you bring a blanket or a pillow. I won't let you sit back there under the influence of a religious demon while I'm leading prayer and you in self-righteousness are reading your Bible. You read your Bible later. Corporate anointing is important, and we're here to pray. You're not going to get a rhema word unless you pursue him and stir him and move him. Brother Mike, would you come up here and just be God for a minute right there? Yeah, just stand right there. Be God. When you see the Father, you see it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses said, "I want to know you. I want to know you. I don't know what you did historically. I want to know how you did it. I want to know you." God said, "Okay." Jesus said, "Okay. Okay." Would some of you young people stand back over there behind Mike? Some of you young people right there, get over here behind him real quick. Just step right back there. God said, "Okay, you want to know me?" And the Lord said, "Stay right there." It's kind of, he said, "I'm going to kill them all. Face me. Get in a group." No, no. "You face me. Get in a group. Get close together like you know each other. Like you can go out for dinner. Face me. Move up. Forget they're there. This drama team needs work." And God said, "I'm going to kill them. I'll just kill them and start over." "Oh, no. No, don't do that. Don't do that. The whole world knows they're your people. Don't do that. You want to know God? He wants this. He wants you to cry out. He wants you to stand in the gap like you really mean it. And you won't have a prayer of faith that'll be able to do anything. It's the prayer of faith that raises the dead. It's a prayer of faith that heals the sick. It's the prayer of faith that breaks down strongholds. Come on, somebody. It is a prayer that has the basis of the Word of God. Any other basis, faith won't work. It's a drill not plugged into an outlet. It operates in the soul realm and will not do a thing but deceive you. Don't kill him. Have mercy on him. Please. You want to know me? Petition, come to me. Stand in a gap. But Melanie, I had a dream last night and the Lord spoke to me. And you're going to live and you're not going to die. And when your hair grows back, it's going to be red. And you're going to live for many years and see your grandchild. Now I'm going to lay hands on you and I'm leaving. And you're going to get well. Oh, she died 15, 20 years later. Sometime between now and 40 years from now or 50 years from now, I'm going to die too. Would you have liked to have seen her live a little longer? Sure, because you loved her. She lived a good life and a full life. And when her hair came back, what color was it? Red. And I told her it'd be curly. Well, how do you know that? He told me. And he gave me a scripture. And I stood on that scripture in the face of facts. And the Word of God changes facts. So when your faith is attached to the Word of God, the facts will change. But if he does not give me that word, I am not going to tell you your hair is coming back and going to be red and curly. Her hair didn't come back and wasn't red and curly because I said it. This is a fine line, but some things need shot down. You don't create. He does. You don't heal. He does. You don't save. He does. And I'm going to pray for children. And I pounded heaven and I fought for them. And I knew he's not going to make it. And everything inside of me wanted him to live. And I cried out a long time. But I told him, I love you. I'll never stop praying for you. Isaiah 55, grab a hold of this. His ways are higher than mine. They're wider, deeper, and broader than mine. And I know you are faithful, and I know I can trust you. And he died. And I felt like part of me did too. But I know mourning only lasts for a short season tonight. And joy cometh in the morning. And people got saved at his funeral. And seeds were sown that'll produce life forever. And I never promised him he'd live. I couldn't. I didn't have a word to activate prayer of faith. But as I came and go and came and go, I'd stop in and hold his hand, pray for him, just cry out. Don't ever stop praying for the sick. And don't keep praying them just because you have results, and don't stop praying just because you didn't. It's not the basis of our faith. And it's not in our commission. Say this with me. Pray and obey. Obey and pray. You can't take credit for people to get healed. Nor can you take the blame if they go on home with Jesus. I told Lenora one day, I had to fly off, and I knew thousands of people were going to come through here in October, and I knew a bunch of them get saved. 2,000 of them got saved in 30 days. And I told her, I got to leave. I need you in my office every night for intercession. This is going to be a battle. When I'm gone, you're going to see the glory. And once you see the glory and you see heaven, you see Jesus, you won't want to come back. Remember? I said, I need you to promise me now while I'm gone that you won't see it and leave. Or that when you see it, you won't leave. If you do, when I come back, I'm going to raise you from the dead. What was our conversation? Why? I need her. I need her to work. That seems cold. Really? It's my job. John 3, verse 2, beloved, my prayer for you as an apostle, I've seen the sick, I've seen the dying, I've seen the lost, I've seen the slaves. You need to be healthy and you need to prosper. We got a job to do. Well, did you even love her? Ask her when you see her. Did she think I meant it? I believe she did. The sisters called when I was gone. You got to come pray for mom. No. You're her pastor. I know. I'm not coming back till I'm done on this assignment. When I came back, she was really bad shape. She was unrespondent, if I remember correctly. And I walked in there and I leaned down beside her and I whispered in her ear and I said, Lenora, come back now. She opened her eyes almost that quick. And you know what she said? I repent, Pastor. I ask forgiveness. I saw the glory. I saw heaven. And I gave up. I was ready to go on in. I said, well, you're back now. Stay awake. Get out of that bed and come to work. Loved on her and left. And every night, she sat in there and prayed nonstop. She'd come to me and say, I'm supposed to wave a banner. I said, are you sure you heard from God? On 10% of your heart, I really don't need you up there waving that banner. She'd dance, remember that? I said, as soon as the anointing leaves, you get off that platform. Get down off there. Okay, Pastor. She lived several years. And then it was her time to go home. So we gathered around her and released her. And she just went right on into glory. I don't know, but one day I'll find out. Maybe Cody just saw the Lord and said, I'll take that. That's not going to stop me from praying for the sick. Come on. I still trust him. He's faithful. So be healed. Thank you for a job well done. And that's how our prayer of faith operates. And that's how you keep from hurting people. Bible says you can have whatever you ask for. Yeah. He does. Prayer of faith always works. Prayer of faith is attached to his word and his will at the moment. Not what you or I want. Decision for me. I was 14 years old. My grandfather was dying and I loved him. I was really close to my grandfather. And he was dying. And I already knew Jesus healed me. He'd walked me down an interesting path by age 14. And my grandfather took my hand. He said, don't leave me. Don't leave me. I made a mistake. And I yielded to policy and the nurses and the doctors. I was only 14, but I never did it again. What I should have done was say, I'll not leave no matter what. I'll stay right here. I led him to the Lord during communion. And he didn't get healed. He went out and be with the Lord. I had a big decision to make. Did I get bitter? quit. No. I trust him. Come on. Reach up and get a handful of trust. And hear these words. You didn't fail. And hear these words. Thanks for trying and being there. And always minister in love or stop. If it's not in love, it's the wrong spirit. And so, Lord, we ask you to seal these words in our heart. We're going to worship. And some of you are getting healed. And I'm going to tell you right now, I need you to live. And you already know I love you. But I need you to live because I need your gift of healing to be in operation. I am an apostle. I'm not equating myself equally, making myself equal to the original 12. Hello? But Jesus gave apostles. An apostle is an oxen that works. And I make no apologies. And I will never ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to do or haven't done. And I do not expect you something I wouldn't do. And though I am a hard worker, you need to remember this and all your generation. We didn't get here because of hard work. We got here because of grace. Grace enables us to work, and love keeps us going. I need your gift. I need you. Well, I know a lot of sick people. So you can't die yet. The best is yet to come. So it's unfair to say all he thinks about is work. That's judgment, and that's a sin. You cannot judge my heart. Only God knows the heart. And when someone tells you that, you should correct them. That's what the Bible says to do. Not receive that criticism and then doubt later on if I really care or not. The hours I work are not the evidence of whether I care or not. The fruit is. So he just told her he wants her to live because he needs her. Yeah, I do. He didn't say he loved her, didn't know it, didn't need to. She already knows it. I'm sorry you jumped into criticism and sin, but that's not my responsibility. That's yours. And you need to stop doing that. Come on, turn around and tell us about it. We're learning. I'm going to minister on this in the morning. We want anointing, we want healing, we want miracles, we want revival. So do I. And I got a responsibility. To not be critical. To not be judgmental. To not be a gossip. To not be a talebearer. To not listen to false accusations. To not fellowship and sup with that. If I really want this, I really need that. Because you're not going to go in a hospital where people are dying and see them get raised back up out of death by judging and criticizing everybody. Your prayers won't get off the ground. It's not the right incense at the altar. Let's stand together. I'm not rebuking anyone. Come on, grab a hold of that. I'm not judging anyone. I'm teaching us the word. We're here to learn about soul winning. We're here to learn about seeing the sick be healed. And prayer that changes the world. I'm glad the Holy Spirit messed Mario up because I could hardly sit still any longer without preaching. Come on, some of you. You know who you are. Just come on up and just spend some time with the Lord. And be blessed. And be healed. And all the church said. We're going to worship. Go get in line. God bless you. Thank you.